was no doubt that once I got so comfortable releasing large amounts of money, I was able to start receiving them into my business.
Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to the Manifesting Money Podcast. My name's Anita Aguilar.
I am your host, as well as a money mindset coach, a manifesting expert, and so are you, and I'm going to show you how, and the CEO of a multi-million dollar company teaching manifestation. This podcast's purpose is to bring massive consciousness around the world of money manifestation, and we want to share our stories to truly help you understand that money, it's just energy. It's an unlimited resource that you can tap into at any given point of time. The way that you feel about money is how it shows up for you. So if you have the limiting belief that you have to work super hard for money, this podcast is for you. I'm going to be sharing the things that I personally learned the hard way, but I'm also going to be sharing tips, tricks, strategies, and stories of those who truly healed their relationships with money and have mastered attracting abundance. Now, without further ado, let's get right to it.
Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Manifesting Money Podcast. I am super happy and grateful that you are tuning in today. If you are a long-term listener, welcome back. If you're a new listener, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your reminder that each and every one of your subscribes and downloads of the podcast helps us get this message out to as many people as possible. So today I have a very special guest who has been trending with me on social media, specifically TikTok. And I know there's a lot of people listening to this that are going to be really excited for this episode. My special guest today is Julia Guerreri. She's the host of the Breakout of the Matrix podcast. She's a mindset coach for female entrepreneurs all over the world. She's based out of New York City, and she's helped over 180,000 people in her community that she built organically online. So today we're going to be breaking down her story of how she went from a financial advisor on Wall Street, shifted and released that job, and started coaching, teaching manifestation full time. So without further ado, let's get right to this episode. So I just gave you an introduction, but I would first like to say hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
So I'm just really excited that we're actually getting a chance to record this because we got dinner not too long ago. And it's just like, get so excited hearing about someone's story. And it's like being able to share that alone is such a manifestation.
Absolutely. I remember when we first got dinner, I was just like so excited to meet you because we've talked on TikTok or maybe Instagram a lot. I know I joined a bunch of your lives. And when I first found you and you followed me, I was like, oh my God, we are such a vibe. And I'm so happy that we had the chance to really like connect deeper, hang out more, now do more collaborations because I feel like we have a lot of overlap in our communities.
Yeah. So especially on TikTok. Yeah, you're right. That's how I found you originally. And then I was like, wait, why haven't I messaged you on Instagram?
Yes.
But I think I was just kind of waiting to get down here to New York and here we are.
Yes.
So I have some fun rapid fire questions for you.
Love that.
So this is to help get you warmed up, but also so the audience can get to know you a little bit more. You ready?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. So the first one for you is, where are you originally from?
So I'm originally from Long Island. And that's about 45 minutes outside of New York City. So when I was growing up on Long Island, it was always my dream to have this dream life here and really build and create something for myself. And I originally wanted to come here for college. And then at the last minute, I was like, you know what? Maybe having a college campus type experience is more for me. And then I'll move to New York City post-graduation.
Yeah, that's a huge shift on its own. So Long Island is 45 minutes outside of the city. Can you give me a visual of this? Because I just want to make sure I got all this right in my brain because I'm still figuring it out.
Yeah. So there's different parts to Long Island. Like Long Island goes all the way to the Hamptons and Montauk. A lot of people don't even know that's Long Island. Mm. So I personally live about 45 minutes on the train. Mm. Driving could be up to 2 hours depending on traffic. So if I go to see my family, it's pretty convenient because I could just hop on the train and go and see them.
Mm. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, anybody from Long Island and you're listening to this, shout out. So my second rapid fire question for you is, what is your favorite book?
Ooh, okay. So my favorite fiction book is Verity by Colleen Hoover. Really good. I'm into like super suspenseful stuff lately. Mm. So I've been watching Handmaid's Tale with my boyfriend on Hulu.
Okay. Wait, what is this about?
Oh, my God. So without getting super political here, a lot of people are saying, like, that they can see this show becoming a reality. I personally cannot yet because it's absolutely insane. Like, just the things that are happening. Basically, there's a fertility crisis in the world in the show. So they're, like, kidnapping women, raping them, and holding them hostage.
Oh my gosh!
To make more babies for the world. And it's actually, like, absurd. At first, the first episode, I said to my boyfriend, I'm like, we cannot keep watching this. Like, it's so vulgar. It's so bad. But it's, like, so good. And this is where I get torn. And this is actually related to manifestation because I'm really big on, like, what you consume is so important. So one of my clients actually shared with me an awesome tip about really pointing out, like, this is not real. This is a show. So that's kind of when I tap into my guilty pleasures of watching these, like, really deep and suspenseful shows.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I can relate to you. Relate so much on that because I love true crime. I have – I don't know if anyone listens to Murder with My Husband. That's my favorite.
No. It's my favorite. I have to listen.
You know, like, this whole setup right now here, too, is because of that show.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that I do with my podcast is because of that one. And then there's another one I listen to, Morbid. But the girls are also just really, really funny. And, you know, I'm just grateful that you're mentioning this and you're, like, being vulnerable. Because I think, again, especially when you're coaching and you're telling other people about this and you're conscious of what you consume. But I think it is, like, again, like, I know there's going to be a point in my time where I'm not going to watch it anymore. And, again, it sounds like you're very conscious of, like, okay, this is not a good time to watch it or whatever. But I think it's also just really the consciousness behind it, right? Like, really knowing your limits, kind of like with other, like, not even substances, but you know what I mean? It's kind of like drinking, you know, drinking to get drunk opposed to drinking to fill a void. And I think it's the same thing with stuff like this.
Absolutely. And I definitely limit my time because when I'm alone, I don't watch TV ever. Like, it's just something that, like, me and my boyfriend do together. And we don't have a lot of shows that we like in common except the super, like, dark and suspenseful stuff. So when I'm alone, oh my God, I'm obsessed with, like, coming of age teen romance. It's like my new thing. Have you seen the After series?
Yeah.
I'm obsessed.
They're, like, so cute. I love them.
Me and my friend are obsessed. Like, I love a good tearjerker, like, endless love, those, like, classic romance. My boyfriend doesn't like that shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, that's the stuff I watch on my own time. But, like, with him, we love watching shows together. So, like, we watched Ozark, we watched You. Like, those are the, that's, like, our thing. So I kind of just save it for those moments.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing that, too, because I'm sure there's somebody on here who's, like, stuck, like, torn in between. Same thing with TV, too. And that's kind of what I tell people with manifestation. It's like, you know, when you start learning about this, you want to tell everybody, but not everybody's receptive. But I was like, that's like telling everybody your favorite, you know, football team, but they don't watch football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's good to show that you have that balance. My third rapid fire question for you, actually, this one's a little bit random. It's not what I ask anybody, but I'm just curious. What is your favorite holiday?
Oh, so it's really tied between Christmas and Thanksgiving.
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I wanted to ask it, because it's November and we're getting started.
So here is what I have to say, because, of course, I'm indecisive. I'm a Libra. Like, I can't pick one answer. Christmas I love because my love language is gifts. Like, I forgot the actual term, but, like, giving and receiving gifts. And Thanksgiving is my favorite because it's just so warm and nourishing and, like, full of gratitude. So it's, like, I love the two so much. But those are my reasons for loving too. Like, they really are tied.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I like that. And you're conscious of your love language.
Yes. Oh. So this is so big. So a couple of years ago, I had read something and it said that we often give the love language that we hope to receive. So something that I have learned is, like, my boyfriend's love language is physical touch. And I was never really, like, the super intimate person. Like, of course, like, behind closed doors, like, with my partner, yes. But, like, in public, like, holding hands and just hugging, or, like, even my family members. Like, I'm never the one to be like, I miss you, and give them, like, a huge hug. Like, that's not my love language.
Yeah.
But my boyfriend is love language is not gifts. Like, he's loves giving me gifts and, like, showering me with gifts, but because he knows it's my love language. But, like, his preferred love language is affection, like, physical touch. So when we first started dating, I remember this was something that was, like, very foreign to me. Like, he was just not in like a super sexual way, but honestly just in a really loving and intimate way, like always hugging me and like showering me with so much like physical love. And I was just like at first like, oh my God, this is like a shock, because that kind of stuff was always just very like super private and like behind closed doors, like I said. But like being out in public and him just like hugging me and like wanting to hold my hand in the street, I'm like, oh my God, like, this is not my love language. That's like my lowest on the totem pole. So I've actually learned to become so much more affectionate being in a relationship with him. He actually now has like getting better at receiving gifts, because I'm sure you know some people that are just not into like receiving gifts. And I'm like, oh my God, that's like my whole love language. Like when someone forgets my birthday, I take it like really personal and like really serious. So it's actually really interesting to be able to communicate those things. And now I know to make an effort to be more affectionate, and he makes an effort on the gift side.
Oh, I was just talking to Enrique about this.
Really?
Because I feel like there's so many people who are unconscious of what love languages are, and they just think like, oh, that's kind of one of those things. You know what I mean?
And so it's so important, because like I remember in the beginning of a relationship, I was like, this is weird, because I didn't know. Like I just thought like love language, like intimate physical touch, that means sex. But it doesn't. Like it means I love you and giving you a hug and holding your hand, or just randomly just touching your butt in public, like just things like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like there's more to a relationship than just like having sex when the doors close, you know?
Yeah. I got full body chills when you said that. I was like, So if anybody is on here, you don't know your love language, you can find, I'll put the link down below, because actually when I work with my clients, I do the same thing. Make sure we know their love language, because it's not only for relationships, but it's also with family. It's also with workplaces. Very interesting. So if you don't know yours, I know mine is acts of service. Acts of service, 1,000%. I'll never forget this time where this guy, I was dating him, and he goes, do you want me to do the dishes while you take off your makeup and get ready for bed? I was like, what the heck?
Oh, like, where did you come from? Heaven?
Yeah. Like literally all of my senses are going off. And I was like, wow, that's my love language.
So funny. Cause that's like my mom's too. And it's not mine. So it's like, you don't think to give that when the other person's hoping to receive that.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to have to do a part two about this on Christmas.
Yes.
Especially with Christmas, because this has been coming up so much. I feel like obviously people are going to be circulating money, which is awesome. But at the same time, I think it's super conscious of like each person you're making that investment for, because you don't know their love languages. And let's say it's the same thing you were saying earlier. It's like, oh, I gave them a gift. Why aren't they happy? And so for me personally, I used to get just little gifts for everybody. And then I shifted to giving them more, just one big gift.
Love that.
And now I'm just super conscious of like, okay, what's each person's love language? And just really prioritizing those things. So
that's really special.
And these are such a fun topic. So thank you for sharing that, and also showing that you can learn other people's love languages and show them love the way they want to be loved.
Be open-minded.
Yeah.
Always.
So my fourth rapid-fire question for you is, who was your first mentor?
This is so good. Okay, so I would say my first mentor, it was a really interesting situation, because it was the first time I ever clicked on a YouTube ad. So I was doing a morning meditation. It was January of 2021, New Year's vibes. I was like getting my shit together. I'm like, yes, I was just starting, I was a year into my full-time job working as a financial advisor on Wall Street. And I get this ad, and it was like, I just remember the hook so well. It was like, see this ring? This ring made me $1 million. And it was about like Shopify dropshipping. So I get on the call with them, I do the whole funnel thing, I get into the funnel, and I buy the course. And it was $2,000, and I was like, okay, this was the first time I invested high ticket into my program. So it's like I just treated the course very differently than I've ever treated anything else. So even though I wasn't close with the creator at first who made the course, I felt like she was my mentor, because I actually wasn't super interested in dropshipping, but I was super interested in entrepreneurship and how she created the course. I thought the course world was like so cool. And that's like when it opened the doors for me. So originally I went into it, I was like, I am going to be a millionaire Shopify owner. Like this is my calling in life. And I learned what dropshipping was. I didn't really believe in it. It didn't feel ethical for mm-hmm. certain reasons. And just the process of the way that the course was teaching it, I personally didn't love it. Mm. There was nothing wrong with it. Like, people were being really successful. It just didn't feel authentic for me. Mm. So that happened. And then I actually started getting really close with the course creator, who's actually now one of my really good friends.
Wow, chills.
And then in July, she invited me to go visit her in Puerto Rico. And she was actually one of my first mentors, more like from a distance. Now we're like friends, so it's not as much of like a mentor relationship. But it was really cool because she opened my eyes to what was possible. Mm. And she's the first person who taught me that $1 million is just $80,000 a month.
Yeah.
And when you think about that and being in the online world, that's really simple, really easy. Mm,
you're right. Oh, that's so cool. Okay, we definitely have to come back to that of how you two are friends now, because I feel like that's really big in self-image. You've seen it, so you got it. Yes. So, and it does tie into my last rapid fire question, which was, what was your first investment? Which is $2,000, yes, but $2,000. Maybe you could just share, how did your body physically feel after you made that investment?
So I'll actually share with you that my first like real investment in myself was a $300 Grant Cardone course.
Oh, cool.
That was like in August of 2020. Mm. So I had paid off $25,000 worth of debt in September 2020. So in August 2020, I got into another one of those funnels, but I didn't even know what a funnel was. And I was on this call. He's like, I'm doing the call live. And now in retrospect, I'm like, that was not a live call. And I get on the call, they're like, $300 for this course. So I text one of my entrepreneur friends and I said to him, I was like, do you think I should invest in this course? And he's like, Julia, when's the last time you spent $300? And at that time, $300 felt like so much because I was 25K in debt and I was so close to paying it off that it was like, why would I go backwards in a sense? And he was like, when's the last time you spent $300? I was like, I don't know. I just got my hair done, probably around that much money, nails, all that stuff. I could spend that in a day. And he was like, now imagine you spent that $300 on something that will give you a skill that will help you earn $1,000.
Wow, what a great friend.
Right? And he's like, you know, you're so easy to kind of like, I don't even like to say it like this, but like blow that money on your hair, blow it on your nails and just mindlessly be like, yeah, it's no big deal. Why aren't you like that when it comes to investing in your growth? Mm. And it really made me think like, yeah, you know, it's a no-brainer when it's like my hair. Of course I have to get my hair done. But then when it's like something that's actually going to teach you a skill and be an investment, why do you question it? So I invest in the course. And even though I wasn't going to go into real estate investment, it showed me what was possible for investing in a course. I didn't really understand what courses were until I got into that next investment for the drop shipping in January. And that was the one that I was like, wow. Like I kind of played around with the $300, invested in another $500 thing. And then that January, that $2,000, it actually felt really good because it's like I had the money. So I'd paid off my debt and I was just building my savings to be able to move to New York City. Mm. So I was like, okay, I have the money liquid. It's going to go down in my bank account in terms of inflation. Mm. So what about if I invest it to learn a skill that's going to make me more money in the long term? And Alex Hormozi says this thing that I'm now obsessed with, like stop investing in the S&P 500 and start investing in the S&P 500 because no investment's going to give you a greater return than the investment that you make in yourself.
Mm. Well, this is gold and really just learning how to anchor that ease when it comes to spending money on your hair. And I'm sure there's at some point where it was hard for you to spend that much on your hair.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And again, just really taking that time where you made it familiar with investing with hair, nails. I think nails is a big one. Oh, isn't nails such a big investment when you're going through a shift?
This is what's so funny that like nails are my one thing that I will always invest in. Mm. So for me, like it's very important for me to have my nails done. Mm-hmm. And I complimented you on your nails, right? I always look at people's nails because I really think that it's the first thing that people see. Mm. I talk with my hands. I'm Italian. Everyone's always looking at my nails. Mm. That is the most important investment that I make in myself after like high quality foods and working out and things like that. But like nails are like my non-negotiable. So I have a few non-negotiables. Like I'd rather like not dye my hair if I had to pick and pick my nails.
Yeah.
Pick to do my nails because that's very important to me. Mm. But there are some things where it's like, I could live without it. Nails, not one of them.
Yeah, that's good. We'll come back to those, your money motivators and things, your non-negotiables, because I think it's really important for each person to have their own. But really good point on the nails, because again, it's almost as if, I guess for me personally, I see a huge pattern with people who get their nails done.
Really? Like what? I'm curious. Right.
Like for me personally, it was such a quote unquote waste of money. Like for a really long time, that was the story that my parents told me, my mom told me, or I only did it for special occasions. And so for me to go consistently, and again, it was something that came up for me that I wanted to do, but I didn't have the time, which I really didn't have the money.
Yeah.
Which time does come into the factor too. Now, once you really do get over that, like that belief of like, okay, it's just a couple hundred dollars, like every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I just realized I started showing up differently. Once I started to, again, it's the little things that you're doing on a consistent basis, opposed to like, I mean, the big things make a shift too, which when it comes to quantum leaping, but again, it's about who you're being and what would that person be doing and what would they not be doing. So
true.
Gold. So before we get into everything that you're doing now, I would love to backtrack just a little bit when it comes to working on Wall Street. Okay. Like,
so that was a really interesting experience, because when I was going through college, I was very much the person that was like, I need the perfect resume, I need the perfect GPA, I need the perfect everything. Mm-hmm. And I was super polished, and I was super like, oh, like, you know, I'll be worthy if I have a good job. I'll be worthy if I have a good resume. I'll be worthy if I overload and do 24 credits a semester, which is what I did.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I finished college a semester early, and it's like, okay, I'll save money, right? It's like I always wanted to be ahead of the curve. And it's like I had this story that my worth really relied in the outcomes in my life. And this is something I'm still unlearning and undoing, because it was just very deeply, deeply rooted that, like, oh, I'm worthy if I get the best job out of college. I'm worthy if I make the most amount of money. So when I was in college, I tried so hard to get an internship. And I went to like a big state school. So, you know, I was competing with people at Ivy League colleges. But I was low-key manifesting before I even knew what manifesting was. And I had got this job at a bulge bracket bank, like one of the number one banks, like top five banks. And like I said, I was in a room having interviews with people from Princeton, Yale, Harvard. And then it's like, oh, I'm here. I went to UMass. And I got the internship. And
wow. Then
when I got the internship, I went there the first day, and it was on Long Island. And I like kind of settled in a way, because I was like, if I could just get the internship in Long Island, I can network, I could do my thing, and I'll get the job in the city so that I can move to New York City when I graduate. So when I went to Long Island on the first day of the internship, they moved my office and they're like, yeah, you're not going to be with the big group of like 30 interns. You're actually going to go to this separate office and you're going to be the only intern in an office of five people. Was like, okay, like the polish me, right? Oh my God, this ruined my plan. How am I going to get to New York City, right? All the things I'm thinking, the stories. And when I get there is when I discovered the law of attraction and I discovered the secret. So the guy that I was sitting next to at the office lent me his book, The Secret.
Oh my gosh!
And I discovered the law of attraction at this internship. So I started playing with manifestation. I manifested a $5,000 check in the mail before the end of the year, because I was like, you know what? I'm going to go big. Like, you know, when you first discover law of attraction manifestation, you're just like super playful and super like creative, imaginative energy, and I do my thing, whatever. So now I come into the new year, I get the job in New York City, I get there, and it's just not what I wanted. And I was like, but now it's actually harder because I'm in debt. The job is like, I'm grateful for the job. I was not making good money to start. I was making like $300 a week. I was commuting 3 hours round trip. It was like, okay, on pen and paper, it looked amazing. But when you asked me how I felt, it didn't feel amazing, but I would never admit that at that time. So COVID hits, and once it hit, I had realized that I was really living outside of myself, and that was my time to explore, who am I? Who is Julia? So pay off the debt. Within 6 months, I sold my clothes on Poshmark.
Cool.
So I was working remotely, selling my clothes on Poshmark at nights, mornings, weekends. I paid off within 6 months. And then at the end of that, I was like, wow, I just paid off 25K of debt in 6 months. Imagine what else I could do now. So I started investing in courses. I start talking to people. This was also when I was reconnecting with my boyfriend. I start looking at apartments in the city. 2021 was the massive quantum leap of my life. I moved to New York City. I start dating my boyfriend. I build my business, incorporate my business. I earned my first 10K month, 20K month. Like, just so many things happened so fast that looking back, I'm like, there's no possible explanation besides a quantum leap. Like, there's just no way I could have explained how everything happened so fast.
These are so fun. I love for these stories, and I just want to dissect some of the things that you talked about. The biggest thing was how it didn't work out the way that you thought it was going to work out, and how somebody in that room was also conscious and aware. So could you tell me a little bit more about that person? Is there any specific qualities that you noticed about him before he even gave you the book?
Yeah, so I felt like I really connected to him, and it was very platonic. Like, I think people be like, oh, you know, did you think you were going to, like, date him? Do you have a crush on him? Not at all. Like, it was very platonic, but I felt like our souls connected, like, on a deeper level. Like, we were not talking about, where did you go to school? What did you do? We were talking about, like, deep shit from the minute we got in a conversation. And just to back that point up a little bit further, at the end of the day, it turns out he did end up going to college with my brother, and they knew each other.
Chills!
Yeah. Whoa. So that was wild, because I was just like, why? We didn't even have small talk. So it took me the whole day of getting to know this guy before I realized that. So I just connected with him deeper. And you know what? It's really cool because you obviously meet people in perfect timing. So at the time that I met him, I had just got back from Italy. I was studying there for 4 months and traveling the world. I went to Italy, Croatia, Dublin, Barcelona, like so many different places. And actually, like, a couple months after that internship ended, he quit his job and, like, traveled the world for a year right before COVID.
Oh, my God!
So it's like, you impact people when you don't even realize. Like, he changed my life. I probably changed his, too. We still keep in touch, like, here and there. But we just had such a deep connection where we were talking about really deep stuff that I think he felt open and called to be like, have you ever read the book The Secret? Like, I feel like everything based on this conversation, you would really like this book.
Oh my gosh. First, one, you have to send this to him.
Yes.
And two, I think it's like, again, that's the mirror. That's the mirror. And I feel like everybody listened to this podcast. Again, they just think that they're listening to a podcast. But I'm like, you are that person.
Yeah.
You are that person for somebody else. They feel safe around you. They feel drawn to you. I made a post about this the other day on Instagram about when you do the work, you become like a magnet, right? And the same way. For me, I felt like I had someone, her name was Jasmine. It was the first time I ever heard about law of attraction. And I was like, let me ask her. I was like, do you know what the law of attraction is? And she was like, duh. And I was like, what? Everybody knows about this. And it was always people that I seen that were very, like, quote unquote, successful, or just very driven, or like had that drive in them. So I wanted to point that out, and I'm glad that we did. Also crazy that he knew your brother. What are the odds?
Right?
That's how I feel like New York City is. It's like, yeah, all these synchronicities.
I'm like, oh my God. Everyone knows everyone.
It really is so small. And then the second part of this is when you started paying off your debt. So if there's somebody listening to this right now, one, if you're in their shoes, right, same scenario, same thing, what would maybe be a three-step process that you would tell them to take action on right now?
The first step is you have to know how much you owe. There's just too many people, and this was a topic of conversation in one of my courses that I was teaching this week. If you don't know how much you owe, how can you ever try to manifest it going away? Like, you have to face your stuff head on. And this goes for anything, but specifically with debt. You have to know how much you owe. Then the second part is you have to build cash flow. And this is the part that most, I feel like, spiritual people won't talk about, is that, yeah, you do have to take practical action. So it's like, in retrospect, people can come to my profile, see my pinned post, and it says how I paid off my debt and went to multiple six-figure CEO, but they don't see the days and hours I put in to build the cash flow. So it's like, work on the mindset while you take the action in your life to actually make it happen. And that would be step three, is to combine your spiritual practice with an actual practical action step that you can take in your everyday life. So first, face it head on. What's the story you're telling yourself? What's the actual 3D reality? Step two, build your cash flow. Take practical action. Be creative. Find different ways that you know that the money can flow into you because you have to be an open door. Mm-hmm. How can you open the door? Okay, put some stuff on Poshmark. While I was selling on Poshmark, I also received another $3,000 check in the mail, unclaimed funds in my name.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like when you open the door, that's when the magic starts happening. But most people are trying to manifest with the closed door. So then step three is combine the mindset, because it's 95% mindset and 5% of the practical action.
Oh, this is gold. Wait, let me do my little.
I love that.
That's how I feel listening to this, because again, it's like it's the masculine and the feminine energy. First thing you said, looking at the numbers. A lot of people don't look at the numbers because they're scared. I can personally relate to that, is that I avoid it for so long just because every time I looked at it, it was a constant reminder of how much I'm in debt or how much I'm doing wrong. And there's just so much of that emotional attachment to it. And then two, again, what you said of being resourceful. Oh my gosh, we have all the resources. And I think it's really important to point these things out in spaces like this where we're on a podcast talking about it, because it's different if somebody's there telling you to be, you know, resourceful, like maybe a parent or someone like that. But it's true, you have all the resources. Everything you need to obtain whatever amount of cash flow is already here. And whatever is coming up for you specifically is coming up for you for a reason. And you're just a perfect example of that. And it's so funny because I feel like in my examples I use is to like, if I really needed the money, I could do this. I could sell my clothes. And that's what you did.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then how it opened up. Because you're it's like, it's almost like a momentum train. And even again, if the money doesn't come through the clothes, it'll come through something else because it's already consciously being manifested. So
absolutely.
Ah, so good. So the last part, again, is more about when you started really implementing this work and started diving into the course. So just so I have mental clarity. So you were working at the internship 2020, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
2019.
Mm-hmm. 2020 was the first course.
I started, 2020, I started my full-time job and I was in debt.
Okay.
2021 was the first course. Mm. 2021, June, I incorporated my business while I was still working. And then June 2021, I quit my job.
Yay!
And that was like, oh my God, that was scary. And something that I'm learning about myself, I'm very intuitive, is that I have this like, or have had this deeper fear of not feeling safe. So I'll hold on to things thinking this job is my safety net. This client is my, I used to be a social media manager. So I'm like, this social media client is my safety net. It'll pay my rent. It'll do this. And that held me back for so long in my life. And then when I realized that releasing what isn't in alignment is probably the scariest thing you'll ever do, but at the same time, the expansion doesn't happen until you do that. And I can share a more recent personal experience that 2 weeks ago, I invested, maybe it was even last week, $20,000 paid in full into a mastermind for 2023. And that was scary because I was like, I could hold on to this money, right? The recession, the stories, right? I could do this. I could put a down payment on a house, right? All the things we tell ourselves. And then I really sat with myself. I connected to myself and I says, this is an investment. I know what it's like to do life without a mentor, without a coach. And I don't know if that's a path I ever want to walk again. Having a mentor or a coach has changed my life. I'm in a mastermind right now for 6 months. It ends in January. And it has changed my life in more ways than I could ever imagine. So now it was like, okay, it's a no-brainer because I realize how important mentorship is. The person leading the mastermind is someone that I would absolutely see myself walking in their shoes one day and I want to learn from. And I know that releasing large amounts of money is how I'm going to be able to start receiving them. Less than 1 week later, this week is a 20K cash week.
Wow. Oh, I remember you posting about this. Yes.
Yeah, literally Monday night, I got a 10K paid in full client. 10K paid in full client. The next day, 6K deposit on another 10K contract. I already have an abundance of recurring payments coming in from past clients this month. Like, this is going to definitely be my largest revenue month. Mm. And it's like, oh my God, like just so much that I know for a fact it was two parts. Cause now I look back and I'm like, I need to investigate. I need to study. Like, how did I do this? Mm. And it's the feminine energy backed by the masculine strategy. Mm-hmm. So in the past, I've had either too much and it was out of balance.
Yeah.
This month, releasing that 20K into the mastermind, releasing that money with full body trust that it was going to come back to me and that I had the resources, I had the avenue, I had the pathway for money to flow, right? I have this vision that I carry with me every day that there's hundreds of thousands of dollars in my vortex of energy. Mm. And it's just a matter of time until the 3D reality catches up. And it was no doubt that once I got so comfortable releasing large amounts of money, I was able to start receiving them into my business.
Ah, beautiful. Well, I'm glad that we get to celebrate here on the podcast your biggest month yet.
I know. And it's like day one. Mm. And I'm like, it hasn't even started yet. And that's just, like I said, in money coming in. That has nothing to do with new sales. Mm. So that's just like, oh my God, there's so much potential for November.
So if you could put in a sentence of how it physically feels, like an image of how you thought it would feel versus how it actually feels.
Yeah, so I would say it feels like, you know, it goes back to like everyone always says, feel the feelings before it actually happens. And even though that could be fluffy advice sometimes, it's so true because I have been working since this summer on really that feeling of safety in who I am exactly as I am. Mm. So now that the 3D has caught up, like I said, it doesn't feel surprising. Mm. It just feels like, oh my God, it's time.
Yeah.
Like it's time because I knew in my heart that this was bound to happen. It was almost just like a playful energy of like, when is it going to happen? Mm. Because now I have the systems, I have the team, I have the resources, I have the money to invest in myself. It's like, it's just a matter of time until time catches up because it's like this time-space reality. Time's always behind.
Yeah.
But now I feel like it's catching up. Mm. And this is the start of something that I have been manifesting for months. And it's like, why isn't it working? And it's not that it wasn't working. It was just my own divine timing. Mm. And I really trusted that. And like I said, the biggest shift that I have, and this is something I'm definitely going to be talking more about in 2023, is actually having the freedom systems in my life and finding the balance between the feminine and the masculine.
Yes. Thank you for sharing your specific goals and what you're focusing on, because again, I feel like that's really inviting us into your vortex. And again, seeing the way that you are viewing the world helps so many people really, again, just connect on a different level. And also just your story is just an example for everyone listening that this is possible for them too.
And listen, like I always say, listen to other, my coach told me this, listen to other people's stories as if it's angel numbers for what's possible for you and your business.
Yay. I love it. So what are some things that you are currently excited about now?
So I'm really excited about launching my mastermind for 2023.
Nice.
So these really high ticket clients are coming in and flowing in for that mastermind offer. I'm also restructuring my whole business, my whole product suite. So I started out as like the solely like manifesting person, like how to manifest. And over time it's evolved as I've evolved. And that's why I'm so big on creating a personal brand, because we're allowed to change. Mm. We're allowed to be, do, have whatever we want. So what I've evolved into is now like that spiritual side of me is like who I am. Like I'm really intuitive. I'm really into spirituality, law of attraction, manifestation, but I'm also so passionate about entrepreneurship and business. Mm. So I found a way to bridge both. And the way I'm now restructuring my programs is it's the same work that I've been teaching, but specifically for female entrepreneurs to use this fire and passion within them to manifest their dream life and business. Mm. So I'm shifting the whole name of my programs. I'm launching a free community, which I'm so excited about. Wow. And really moving into like this more branded version of my business. And it's like, okay, like who do I really want to be known for? I feel very embodied in my work, everything that I'm doing. I feel so confident in who I am and what I have to offer more than I've ever been before. And now it's just like I'm so excited to share that with the world because now I really like no BS, like believe there is so much abundance in this world. Mm. There's so much available for me right now. And now it's the fun part where I'm just tapping into it.
Mm. Ah, yes, we love it. We. So we're wrapping up here, but I guess some of my last final questions that I have for you is more around maybe some stories that you have from your clients. Which don't get me wrong, I do get people on my podcast who are manifestation coaches, but maybe not as often as we've had. And so anytime I get to hear, it's so fun.
Oh my God. So my favorite, one of my favorite stories is one of my clients, Sam, who was actually a personal friend and then came on as a client, which is really cool because I think sometimes in the online space, you forget that there's like real people and real humans that like want to be a part of your work, like in the real world.
Yeah.
So I remember she was actually one of the first friends that has ever bought any of my programs. So wow. I was like, this is really cool that she's like supporting me on this level. So she joined, she's a real estate agent in New York City. And she wanted to manifest more sales for her real estate business, like more clients, more deals. After a month of joining my course, she manifested a $70,000 commission check.
Yeah.
So she invested $3,000 into the course. Mm-hmm. What is that? Almost like a 20x, if not more, return on investment.
Oh my gosh. Like, I remember you posting about this on your story.
I have it pinned on my profile as well because it's like the most badass story. Everyone has to check it out and like read the details because I really went in deep in depth. Mm. I think we even did a YouTube or like, I know we did an IG live on it. Some other stories, like just clients, like for some other reason, I had another real estate agent come in. She actually lives in, Berlin, maybe? No. Oh, sorry. I'm thinking it's Berlin. Belgium. I knew it wasn't Berlin. The name just wasn't coming to me. Belgium. She lives in Belgium, and she actually invested her last of her savings into my course.
Wow.
Because she really believed in it. So she had about $3,000 in savings. She invested all of it into the program, and she made back $9,000 in a month.
Oh, yay.
3x the investment.
Wow.
So just like cool stories like that. Oh my God, there's been so many stories. Like I think also now I realize because at first I was like the kind of coach where it's like you have to get a minimum 2x on your investment. Like very masculine, like very bro marketing.
Mm.
And now it's actually so much more fulfilling for me to hear from a client. Like my program's coming to a close. Some amazing stories from my clients. One client, she launched her podcast, something that she had been wanting to do for so long, and she finally found it within her to find her voice, nailing down her mission statement, right? Another one of my clients, launching her dream clothing brand. Mm-hmm. She's a mental health advocate, so like her clothes being all about mental health. Mm-hmm. Another client I'm working with one-on-one was losing passion like in her business, and she found her passion again, found herself, had her biggest launch to date, has like over 60 members in her paid program. So it's like just so many stories like that, that it's like those deeper breakthroughs are like the things that you can't put a price on.
Yeah,
that's like an a million x return on your investment to be like, I love the work I'm doing, I love my business. Like that is it. The most valuable return investment you can get.
And I'm sure it's awesome for them to have someone who celebrates them and really sees it. And again, I think a lot of times the work we do is letting people borrow our beliefs. So thank you for believing in yourself, Julia. Thank you for sharing your expertise, these stories, and really putting yourself out there, like, no matter what, because that is so much bigger than you. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
So when people are buzzing right now from this episode and they want to get to know you, and even more about the mastermind too, I know we talked about it a little bit, but where can they specifically find you?
So I always like to lead people to Instagram just because I love my DMs. Like, it's me and my DMs. Like, send me a message. Be like, hey, I listened to the podcast. If you have any questions, just send me a DM. I'll voice note you. I love voice notes. So just DM me. I feel like that's the best way to reach me. But you can also find me on TikTok and YouTube and my podcast, Break Out of the Matrix.
Awesome. Yay, which we're doing in part two after this. So you guys got to go out there and listen to part two.
Yes.
I'll put it in the show notes too.
Yay.
Thank you, Anita, again for being here.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Manifesting Money podcast. If this episode resonated with you or shifted your paradigm in any way, shape, or form, please stop what you're doing right now and write us a review. This simple act of kindness helps us get this podcast episode out to as many people as we possibly can. And we also want to know what resonated with you and why. So be sure to join our free Facebook group that you can find in the show notes or tag us on Instagram. Either way, we love when you're in our energy and we love rewarding you for listening to the podcast. When you're ready to truly break down your money blocks and learn how to make money work for you, not the other way around, go to the show notes and learn how you can work with us and join our community of people who are making massive shifts in their finances. Thanks again for tuning into this episode, and we cannot wait to share your testimonies. We'll see you in the next episode.